Lord God Almighty, help us to not only recognize and acknowledge that you are near, but the promises of your word are true. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord my God. Great is thy faithfulness. Now may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I am sure most, if not all of you, are familiar with the analogy of a cup. Do you look at it as being half full or half empty? These two options are really touching on an outlook of life. Are you the pessimist who always sees the negative aspects of life? Are you the optimist who always sees the bright things, the blessings of life? I want to interject a third category. I know I'm going to complicate it a little bit, and that of being realistic in one's perspective, which is a combination of the two. You see both the challenges of this life as well as the blessings of this life. So this morning I will focus on the Lord Jesus speaking about the signs of the times in Luke 21, which, yes, includes both the challenges of this life and the blessings of this life. So my first point under Jesus showing us the signs of the times, my first point is he speaks of national and international upheaval. Luke 21, 10 and 11 says this, then he continued by saying to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes, and in various places plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. We hear then of wars and rumors of wars. Sometimes the country doesn't just lose a war and then go on as life as usual, but sometimes losing a war meant the collapse of the government of that nation. Both during and after these conflicts between nations, the people, especially the losers, suffer from disease and famine. This first point the Lord Jesus touches on in this passage is major trauma of military battles and its negative consequences. Going back to my opening introduction, the whole subject of warfare causes those who are pessimists to become chicken little. The sky is falling. To get very active in their negative outlook. And this is true both of believers and unbelievers. There's a certain segment of the pessimists who almost enjoy being pessimistic. Like they almost get joy out of gloom. I'm not one of them, but I have observed that. But these words of our Lord are not meant to get us negative or sour on life. The Lord will give us promises in this passage which are meant to give us hope as we live through this life's difficulties. The Reverend Kim Riddleberger says in his book on Understanding the End Times, quote, the signs of the end are not matters about which to speculate, nor are they indicators that God's world is out of control. They are signs of the certainty of Jesus Christ's second coming, end of quote. Our Lord in his mercy is realistic about the tragedies of this life and forewarns its difficulties. While at times people struggle with the nagging question of why God allows wars or any other random acts of violence, the suffering and the political consequences that go with them, it's very important that we, as we experience intense suffering, that we do not give up trusting in God, who has, by a matter of our faith in his word, we believe he is all-merciful and all-powerful. And we're willing to live in the tension of those realities. God is all-powerful, he's all-merciful, and yet bad things, horrible things, nightmarish things happen, and all the above are true. That brings me to my second point, and that is Jesus predicts the signs of the times in the persecution of Christians. Luke 21, 16 and 17 says this, "But you will be betrayed by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name." Luke 21, 12, he speaks of Christian believers being brought before the rulers of the synagogue and civil rulers who will mete out various punishments, including imprisonment and execution. As I just read in Luke 21, 16 and 17, further it tells of parents, relatives, and friends who are the snitches who turned Christian believers into authorities. And these family members are the very people responsible for reporting them to the authorities. It's bad enough for Christian believers to suffer persecution for their faith in the Lord Jesus, but on top of that, family members were the ones who brought about their arrest. This is double trauma, adding insult to injury. And the impact of this betrayal could be demoralizing to Christians. In the midst of Jesus' words about the persecution of Christians, he also gives his followers promises. Here's where the cup is half full. The Lord Jesus gives this promise in Luke 21, 13 through 15. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. For I will give you utterance and wisdom, which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. We see examples of this in the book of Acts, as Peter and Paul made a public defense of their faith in the Lord Jesus while they were in prison and while they were on trial. God would give his people the courage and the words to speak, and those who listened to their testimony would not be able to withstand or contradict them. The Lord Jesus will use them as his instruments in that time to proclaim his word to a hostile audience. Some of those listening to Christian believers who were persecuted would later be converted to the Christian faith because of the boldness of the Christians that they observed. Think of the Apostle Paul before he was converted to Christ on the road to Damascus. He observed the trial and stoning of Stephen. In Acts 7:58, the text says this concerning the stoning of Stephen. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Later, when reflecting on his conversion to Christ, the Messiah, I don't think it is a stretch to say that Paul gave Luke, the writer of Acts, firsthand his presence at Stephen's trial and its impact on him. Luke 21, 16 through 19 is a strong affirmation of God's overriding control and sovereign grace demonstrated for his people. And yes, at this time, on August 31st, 2025, we sit here secure and safe in a sanctuary, worshiping God, listening to a sermon. And yet there's Christians all around the world at this time who are very unsafe. And so as a matter of course, we ought to pray for those who are persecuted. There are many martyrs that still happen today. And so we need to keep them in prayer that God would give them both holy boldness and holy wisdom as they face persecution. Notice that some Christian believers will be put to death, while others will be imprisoned. Either way, God will bring his purposes to fulfillment. In Luke 21:18, our Lord says that not a hair of your head will perish. Again, he's not meaning that his followers will not be harmed physically, because he's already told them about imprisonment and death. Rather, what our Lord means in this saying is that not even death will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, God will protect them and us spiritually. So even though left to our own devices, we would buckle under the threat of violence and torture. God's supernatural intervening grace is what upholds us so that we can trust in him. You and I, by our own natural strength, would get weak at the knees in prison. But God upholds us. As Peter says in 1 Peter 1:5, referring to Christian believers who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God strengthens us so that we continue to trust in him. And this is in line with what our Lord promises in Luke 21:19. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. God is with believers to preserve their faith in him and keep it intact throughout the time of their persecution, and will bring them safely into his kingdom. But they must persevere in their trust in God. Excuse me. So to recap, in the midst of these difficulties, the Lord gives promises to his people to give us words to testify about himself when we are under duress, and also his saving mercy that he will preserve our relationship with him and enable us to continue to trust in him. And even though this passage mentions imprisonment and death, I think we can also apply it to our lives as we face at times being socially ostracized and canceled because people in our society consider the Christian faith toxic and dangerous. May God give us strength and perseverance to continue to trust in him despite the scorn of this world. That brings me to my third point, and that is Jesus speaks about the signs of the times and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. In the last section of Luke 21:20-24, the Lord Jesus speaks about the coming destruction of Jerusalem and its temple. And I believe this section deals exclusively with the destruction of Jerusalem. In the first century, this happened. It does not refer to the ending of human history before Christ returned. He will speak of it later, but at this time, in these verses, he's speaking exclusively of what happened in the first century. Christ's words in the concluding verses of this passage find their fulfillment when Rome besieged the city of Jerusalem in a series of battles between the years 80, 66, and 70. In the days leading up to the final stage of the Roman armies conquesting the city, in which it was burned and the temple torn down, Jewish nationalism and the zeal to overthrow Rome had reached the highest point of intensity. The Jewish hope for national independence and international sovereignty would not be realized. During this time period, as we read last week, many false prophets in Israel predicted Israel's victory and the appearance of Messiah and the inbreaking of God's kingdom. But these were false hopes, because the one true Messiah, the Lord Jesus, had already come. Instead, their dear city was pillaged, and Jesus' words came to fulfillment as they fell by the edge of the sword, and Jerusalem was trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. The Jewish Christians were persecuted in and around Jerusalem before the destruction of Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish believers, in obedience to the Lord's words, left Jerusalem and found shelter in the mountain city of Pella, some 90 miles north of Jerusalem. Our Lord's directions to leave the city of Jerusalem and the surrounding area of Judea and flee to the mountains was not the usual approach of people seeking refuge. Ordinarily, if you wanted to keep safe, you would stay within a walled city. But in this case, since Jerusalem was doomed to destruction, people must flee from it and not try to enter into it again or remain in it. Later, after the battle was over, the non-Christian Jews blamed the Jewish Christians for the demise of the city because they said, if only you had stayed, we might have been able to overcome the Roman army. And so the Jewish Christians became a scapegoat for what happened. The portion of Jewish population which stayed in the city to fight the Roman army was no match because they were not only outnumbered, but the Roman army had formed a blockade around the city, allowing no food in, and many of its inhabitants died of starvation. The remaining portion of the city that survived were so emaciated they had no strength to fight against an army. Like all of our Lord's words, they are true and came to fulfillment. And that generation saw this great distress upon the land, and their glorious capital was in ruins. The city had fallen, its temple burned to the ground, and in the words of Jesus, not one stone left on another. Its inhabitants were killed, and those who remained were led captive into the surrounding nations. The destruction of Jerusalem and its temple foreshadows the need of all Christians to be prepared for our Lord's second coming as we continue to trust in Jesus as our God and Savior. Also, the judgment that Israel experienced at this time is a foreshadowing and a warning to all people, showing the tragedy of those who suffer not only physical hardship of this present world, but more tragically, the judgment of God for all eternity for those who reject Jesus as Messiah and King. May we not be those who draw away from God, but those who persevere in our faith in God to the preservation of our souls and our relationship with Him. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us the signs of the times through the teaching of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us by the Holy Spirit to have a right understanding in all things, to heed our Lord's teachings and to evermore rejoice in the promises of his word. These things we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.